It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We dig into issues now that the State Department of Justice is working on with Attorney General Josh Call. You can be part of the conversation at any point by asking a question or sharing your comment. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Attorney General Josh Call, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. It's good to be back in the program.
Well, let's start with scams. You and other attorneys general have announced a new crackdown on scam phone calls. How is the operation different from previous efforts by state and federal consumer protection authorities to stop illegal telemarketing?
Over the past several years, we've worked on a number of multi-state actions to fight illegal robocalls. And first, I just want to say why it's so important that we do this. I think anybody with a cell phone is familiar with the volume of robocalls that we get and the amount of spam. And that's an annoyance to just about everybody. But in addition to being an annoyance, robocalls are often used to try to initiate scams. And because the volume of these robocalls is so high, if even a small percentage of those end up being successful in causing a scam to move forward, that's a lot of people's lives that are impacted who are victimized through this process. So the more that we can do to fight illegal robocalls, not only the less annoyance we'll see, but the fewer scams. And so among other things, we have urged companies to take action to put in place protections or to reduce the number of robocalls. But a couple of things are key, and this initiative highlights some of those things. One is just getting more information out to the public about robocalls and how to be prepared to identify them and not to fall victim to some of these scams. But the other thing is we're trying to target companies and individuals who are responsible for getting, in some cases, literally billions of calls sent out across the country. So the enforcement action that we're involved in involving one of these companies alleges that this company sent or transmitted more than 7.5 billion calls to telephone numbers on the Do Not Call registry between December of 2018 and January of 2023. And approximately 157 million of those calls were to numbers in Wisconsin. We're seeking to reduce the volume of these calls through these kinds of actions.
Do you think litigation and these lawsuits against companies like Avid Telecom, will that help stop this illegal business schemes from going on?
I think it's going to help reduce the number of calls that folks get. And that's part of the reason we're targeting these high volume callers. You know, as I just mentioned, when you're talking about billions of calls, you can't bring individual enforcement actions in every case. There just aren't the resources or the time to do it. But by targeting the companies responsible for these large volumes of illegal calls, our hope is to really reduce the volume overall. And then we also want to empower people by making sure that they know why these scams are happening, how many of them are out there, because the less successful these calls are in leading to scams that impact people's lives, the less interest there's going to be in engaging in those scams.
Turning now to opioid settlements, and if you could first just take stock, because there are multiple multi-state settlements, you know, with the opioid makers and the distributors and the pharmacies. Can you just talk a bit about the settlement money that is coming to Wisconsin now and in the future?
Absolutely. One of my priorities throughout the time I've been Attorney General has been to ensure that companies that engaged in illegal actions that contribute to the opioid epidemic are held accountable. This epidemic has devastated people's lives across the state and across the country. And as we have alleged, there were a lot of actions that were taken that contributed to the epidemic based on misrepresentations or failures of companies to step in when they knew that the volume of opioids being sold was indicative of problems going on. We sued Purdue Pharma, which declared bankruptcy. We've been part of multi-state investigations. My administration joined investigations into opioid distributors. And because of all of the actions that we've been involved in other states and local and municipal governments, we have now helped to secure hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to be going to communities across the state of Wisconsin to fight this epidemic. There was a very large settlement announced, I believe it was last year, involving some opioid distributors and a manufacturer that's going to result in over $400 million coming to the state of Wisconsin. More recently, there was an announcement of settlements with Teva, Allergan, CVS, and Walgreens. That's going to result in over $250 million additional dollars coming to the state of Wisconsin. So we're talking about well over half of $1 billion coming into the state over a long period of time. And my hope is that these dollars will go to fundamentally transforming our response to the epidemic, increasing access to treatment and recovery programs, as well as efforts to enforce the laws and to combat the epidemic, and then to prevent people from becoming addicted as well.
Should the State Department of Justice receive a portion of the settlement money for law enforcement purposes?
Well, we've declined, first of all, to take any portion of the settlements as attorneys' fees for the Department of Justice. There's also specific legislation on the opioid settlements in particular.
Mm-hmm.
The way that the funds are being allocated is that 70% is going to counties and municipalities that were involved in litigating, and 30% is going to the State Department of Health Services.
Mm-hmm.
So far, the vast majority of funds have been allocated to efforts to prevent people from becoming addicted or from harm resulting from addiction, or to support recovery and treatment programs. And I think that's absolutely appropriate. Now, if some resources are directed towards enforcement efforts as well, I think that that's absolutely appropriate. And I think that's, we're going to see that, especially through some of the counties and local governments. But my goal is for these resources to be used as effectively as possible to fight the epidemic.
Attorney General Josh Call with us to talk about pressing issues in the State Justice Department. Join in the discussion. Your thoughts, ask a question, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're in conversation with Attorney General Josh Call on a range of issues involving work at the State Department of Justice. You can field your question to the Attorney General. Share what's on your mind. The number to be part of the discussion is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Your counterpart, a state over, Michigan's Democratic Attorney General Dana Nessel, announces felony charges against 16 Republicans who acted as fake electors for then-President Donald Trump in 2020. What is your reaction to these charges?
Well, first, I can't comment on the specifics involving the state of Wisconsin. We generally don't confirm or deny the existence of investigations. But I can say a few things generally. One is, on the day of the insurrection, one of the things I commented was that we appeared to be seeing a seditious conspiracy happening, and that it was vital that those responsible be held accountable. And that remains my view to this day. If people committed crimes in order to try to subvert the results of an election, it's critical that the people who committed those crimes are held accountable. Having seen some of the public statements from AG Nessel prior to these charges being filed, I think it's not surprising that they were. Also, there's been a lot of attention on, there's an ongoing federal investigation into the events of the insurrection and potentially related actions. And I think it's really critical that those efforts continue to move forward, and that those who did commit seditious conspiracy or other crimes to try to overturn the result of the election are held accountable.
That's what I'm kind of wondering. I mean, do next steps on fake electors, does it hinge on where the investigation goes by the U.S. Justice Department into the 2020 election? I mean, we've seen Wisconsinites in elections system, testifying.
Yeah, well, again, I can't comment specifically on mm-hmm. what the Wisconsin Department of Justice is or would be doing. But what I can say is the approach that we take at the Department of Justice to the enforcement of our laws, whether in this context or any other context, is pretty simple at a fundamental level, which is we consider the facts, we consider what the law is, and we approach the case based on those two things. And then our judgment as to how we can most effectively ensure that the laws are enforced and that people are held accountable when that's justified based on the facts and the law. And that's how we approach any enforcement matter, and the same basic logic applies here as well.
We're going to turn now to the Office of School Safety. The Republican-controlled state legislature rejected renewed funding for Office of School Safety. But the office recently announced its 24/7 confidential tip line is now able to receive text messages. How does the office plan to operate without state funding?
Well, that's a great question. You know, ultimately, we're going to need state funding to ensure that that office can continue operating in the long run. I think it's important to note where we are with that office. It was launched in 2018. It was created with bipartisan support, and the legislation creating it was signed into law by Governor Walker. And over the past 5 years, that office has been a huge success. It's launched innovative and effective programs to help keep kids safe in our schools. And one of them is the program you just mentioned. It's a 24/7 tip line that anybody associated with a school can contact to report concerns or to get school safety guidance. And that tip line has received thousands of contacts from around the state of Wisconsin. That includes over 100 tips involving concerns about potential school attacks. And, you know, while certainly not all of those cases would have ultimately resulted in an attack going forward, if in just one or two cases we've been able to get an intervention to happen that helps keep kids safe and that prevents an attack on our schools, this program has been a huge, huge success. We have relied on federal grant programs and then federal COVID relief funding to keep this program, to launch it and then to keep it going. But we're at a point now where we need the state through the state legislature to step in. We are looking at ways that we can try to extend the funding so that this office can continue operating. But ultimately, for the office to continue doing the work that it's doing, we're going to need the legislature to step up. So it's my hope that we will see legislators pursue standalone legislation that will fund this office. But it was certainly a disappointment that the budget didn't provide the kinds of resources we need to keep programs from being gutted at that office.
I wonder, without all the resources from the Office of School Safety, is there a new burden on schools to do more to stop threats and do their own crisis prevention and response?
There will be, and we would be leaving schools to fend for themselves on issues that having a centralized hub that provides best practice guidance is really critical. Just to give you an example, the tip line I mentioned, in some cases, school districts have used to replace a private company that they used. I was told that in the Kenosha School District, for example, the district saved about $17,000 a year by switching over to our program, the Speak Up, Speak Out program. Schools, without the Office of School Safety being fully funded, will need to make decisions about whether they're going to invest in private services like that, which means dollars coming out of their budgets that otherwise would be going towards the other critical work that they're doing. Some schools may decide to go without having a tip line, and that leaves school officials without the kind of information they're able to get to help keep kids safe that we've had. And they would lose a center that helps collect best practice information and can send that to schools around the state. You know, our teachers are trained to teach our kids. That's what their background is in. It's not in being safety officials. And while schools do incredible work to help keep our kids safe, and some districts have school safety coordinators. Having a centralized office that can do that research, that's trusted and can get it to schools around the state, helps ensure that kids across the state of Wisconsin are benefiting from best practices and from all the best information out there as we look to keep our kids safe.
We're catching up on a range of issues with Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call, leads the State Department of Justice. You can join in with your question at 800-642-1234. Landing on PFAS here, your agency has filed a bunch of lawsuits against PFAS makers and companies that have polluted. What is the status of these lawsuits?
Those cases continue to make their way through the court system. The two sort of major cases that we filed on PFAS, one involves water contamination in the Marinette area, mm-hmm. Where we filed suit against Johnson Controls and against Tyco. The other case is a much larger suit that was brought against PFAS manufacturers and marketers and sellers, alleging, among other things, that there was not full information provided to the public about the dangers of PFAS. Those cases are both very significant ones. They're extensive, and they will involve extensive court filings and discovery. So those cases are going to take quite a bit of time. But what I could tell you is that we are committed to ensuring that the companies that have broke the law are held accountable. Because every Wisconsinite should have access to safe and clean drinking water. And the companies that are responsible for contaminating the water should be the ones to pay to clean it up, not Wisconsin taxpayers.
Attorney General Josh Call, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Josh Call is Wisconsin's 45th Attorney General, is in his second term. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.